It's Nick, Jess and Ducko. Welcome to the podcast.
We did it, guys. As a society, we've done it.
What
There's been a word officially added to the dictionary, according to Merriam-Webster, who obviously collates words.
Yeah.
Now, before I get to the word that's been added, did you know that things like awful was not in the dictionary for a very long time, but because it was used colloquially for such a long time, in the end, they're like, this is a word. It's in the common vernacular.
Mm-hmm. What? So like awful wasn't like a word and then people just started using it enough, like bootylicious, and then it eventually goes, all right, we'll make it
an official word.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's a slang term, but eventually a slang term gets used so often that it becomes actually a part of the lexicon of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And today is a glorious day because asshat has been added officially to the dictionary.
Now, have you just misread? I know you're a details guy and you're also a big reader, but you saw it's not like a shat or you're not mispronouncing it. It's asshat.
No, because the first instance back in 1991 of asshat being used was two separate words, ass and hat.
As an insult?
Yes, very much as an insult from a heavy metal band. And the thing is that it then started being used as a single word. And it was used as a single word for so long that that became the accepted term. Arsat was no longer two words and it has been entered as one word.
And do you have the official definition?
Oh, I don't have the official definition.
Yeah, like what is arsehat?
Because my next follow-up question is dickhead in the dictionary.
Should be. Dickhead's a more common one.
Because I would say dickhead and arsehat, in my mind, that's a similar level of insult.
I've never used arsehat. I don't really know what that word is.
Well, I think it's got something to do with stupidity? Yes.
A stupid, annoying, or detestable person.
A dickhead.
Like a dickhead. Can you tell me if dickhead is in the Merriam-Webster official dictionary?
All right, bear with me.
It's got to be.
It's got to be. And is dickhead one word? It's one word.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Oh, it doesn't. Dickhead definition, Merriam-Webster, bear with me. All right, plural, dickheads. Vulgar slang, a stupid, contemptible, or annoying man.
Oh, you can't call a lady a dickhead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well, that's sexist.
That is sexist.
I want to call a lady a dickhead. I want to call a lady a dickhead.
Well, maybe, I don't see male or female when it comes to dickheads.
Vagina head doesn't have the same ring.
Vagina head doesn't.
That's true.
You big vagina head.
But what about vulva head?
Vulva head's good.
Labia minora head.
But maybe we can say lady dickhead.
Lady dickhead.
Because fun fact, here's a little tidbit for you. You know the term scientist.
Yeah.
Before scientist had been coined, Ducko's on my page. He's heard the word scientist.
I know that word.
So originally, the term that everyone used was man of science. But then there was this woman who was an expert in geology, chemistry, and something else. And they're like, we can't call her a geologist or a chemist or anything like that.
Yeah.
And so they had to come up with a scientist for a lady. And so really, we should be saying scientist or male scientist.
Or dickhead.
Or dickhead.
Right now, I've got a public service announcement to people like me.
Okay. Well, you're announcing stuff to you.
Yeah, well, our producer came with this story today, and I'm actually not happy about it because it's really ruined my way of life. Remember I told you my superpower is I can go to the toilet whenever.
Yeah.
Yes, you can force yourself to go on cue. That and your unsensitive nipples.
Yeah. Thank you. I can go whenever I need to go.
That's
I
the
can
peen, just go. By the way, not the nipples.
Yeah.
Sound
yeah.
They're not just leaking profusely and you can't tell because there's no sensitivity.
You can hang off my nipples and I won't even know.
Yeah.
Have a body swing.
I'll do chins off them.
Exactly.
You could peg your doona to his nipples to give it a bit of drying time. I can feel it.
But a doctor has come out. Alicia Jeffrey Thomas, a pelvic floor physical therapist from Boston, has come out and said, the just-in-case we is a big no-no.
That is a staple with parents especially.
Yep, yep.
Go just in case we get in the car.
Yeah, it's a long drive.
Just in case. I'll just go just in case. Apparently it's a big no-no. You want to know why? Well, here's her explaining it on none other than TikTok.
Your bladder basically has three levels of sensation of filling. So this first one is just an awareness level that tells you that there's some urine in the bladder. The second one is actually the one that tells you to make a plan to use the toilet. And then the third one is kind of the panic button that says, get me there right now, I'm about to overflow. If we're going just in case, it means before we actually get an urge to use the toilet. And so if we're doing this all the time, over time this compresses those three levels together, and so the difference between feeling like there's some urine in your bladder and feeling that panic button like you're about to pee your pants is going to happen in a much shorter amount of time.
So there's three layers. So it's
oh
like your body.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So basically, if you're doing that all the time, your body is never filling itself up.
No, yes. It's sending the message when it's half full, just like, go, 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 go.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't get that sensitivity of, okay, no, I don't need to go right now because it's all going to become smooshed into one. Always panic
button. Your brain doesn't know. Your body doesn't want. And this, I think, has happened to me because I do always go, oh, should I go? Even talking about weeing right now, I need to go to the toilet.
Playing that sound effect, I'm sure.
Needs to the toilet. I always need to go. And I think I've just damaged it so hard.
You've got to train it back up.
Love that she has dedicated her life specifically to the pelvic floor.
Yeah.
That's very kind of her. But yes, what's the solution? She's come with us with the problem. Because I reckon a lot of people would have done this.
Totally.
Yeah. From a young age,
and I think I blame my mum, who's always like, go just in case on long car trips or whatever.
Yeah, now I'm 31 and I'm peeing all the time.
God. Yeah. I'm not a specialist on this, but I have heard this and read about it, and you can retrain it back. Okay. So
is that with the Kegels?
With the, yeah?
The Kegels? That's what they tell ladies to do.
Oh, right.
Just while you're sitting, I do Kegels a lot in this studio. You never notice.
Is that where you like compress in?
Yeah, tense.
Yeah, tense in, yes.
Clench, unclench.
Clench, unclench.
Clench, unclench.
Your pelvic floor.
With the pelvic floor.
Yeah, you should. Is that what?
Is that what you're meant to do?
No, not Kegels. Okay. You just retrain it literally by holding on. Because then what happens is it'll realize that you'll feel like it's really urgent, but hold on, I haven't peed myself. And then your bladder will actually continue to fill, and then it'll start resetting the markers in your bladder for those sensors.
Oh, it's as much your brain as it is the actual feeling.
Because when I told you when I was a kid, I used to go to like video stores. It happens to me when I go to like a pharmacy or a Woolies. I don't need to go to the toilet. The minute I go into somewhere where I feel like I can't, I need to.
Yes. Yeah.
It happened yesterday. I needed to go. I was like, it was almost like panic, like level 3. The minute I walked out of the store, gone.
But your bladder can hold, I think, between like 500 and 800 mils.
Right.
And so you can hold on a lot longer than you think you can.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of weight.
Yeah, like Morgan, my partner, she's a nurse. I famously call her a camel because she can hold on for so long. Like,
because they
surgery,
need to. Yeah.
She'll be in surgery sometimes in theatre for 8 hours. And I went to toilet once today. I'm like, what? What? I weed 4 times in my 3-hour radio show.
Guys, some very, very exciting stuff out of the Naruma Oyster Festival.
There's nothing oyster than an oyster from the shell. When your hunger he dispels, or a malady he quells. In low and high and shifting tide, the oyster is our friend until he meets his culinary end.
Is that the exciting news that they've released that banger?
No, but that is the anthem, obviously.
Yeah.
Because there is nothing moister than an oyster.
Yeah, there isn't.
At the grand final, right. Just recently,
okay,
on New South Wales South Coast, there was a photo finish between the two oysters.
An oyster race.
It was neck and neck between broken-hearted Jill and Uncle Ray.
Uncle Ray.
Uncle Ray, which had been kept as a pet for 8 years.
So I didn't know they lived that long.
Mate, apparently.
I guess they could live for like a year or 400.
Oysters? Couldn't they just live forever, oysters?
And they could just keep growing, apparently.
Oh,
so
what?
Kirk, he's an oyster man.
Yeah.
He grows,
he screams oyster energy.
He loves his oysters and he grows oysters, but he was realised that Uncle Ray was growing quite a bit more than his brothers and sisters,
Yeah.
So he decided to keep Uncle Ray as a pet and has been looking after Uncle Ray a bit more special.
I reckon that'd be a pretty fulfilling pet human relationship as well. Get home, pat the shell.
Yeah. So cold.
They had Uncle Ray in the best possible growing conditions.
Yeah.
But Kirk thought, nah, 2022, it's Uncle Ray's year.
Yeah.
But how's this broken-hearted Jill coming along? Weighs the exact same as Uncle Ray.
No.
So they get them both on scales. They're like, hang on, these guys are a dead tie. Uncle Ray, a little bit longer.
Oh.
So he's bloody taken
it
out.
He's done it.
Biggest oyster at the Naruma Oyster Festival, and now he wants the world bloody record. So Kirk's taking him home.
Yeah. Oh, he's still living?
Mate, he's still living. Kirk's going to take him home, keeping in these pristine growing conditions, and then they're going to come back in 2023 to defend the title at Naruma, but then they're going to go for the bloody world record.
When do you eat it? How...
Pardon my ignorance. Never eaten an oyster. Don't eat seafood. Can you eat an 8 year? Everyone always talks about seafood. You know, it's like it's just come out of the ocean.
Yeah,
it's
fresh.
Like the fisherman's just caught him and he's now in the frying pan.
Yeah.
Are you eating an 8 year old oyster?
I don't know.
He's someone's pet, Ducko. How
big
you?
Is it? When you say, how many kilos does that thing weigh? Like, how big is that big ray? Like, Because I'm picturing like a massive.
Would you bloody believe the Newcastle Herald? Oh, it's the bloody first line. Yeah. 2.71 kilograms.
Okay.
Whoa.
39 centimeters
wow.
long.
Whoa.
Wow, that's a big oyster.
When you order a half dozen at yeah. Scotty's or whatever,
yeah.
How big are they? Like 10 centimeters? How big is an oyster?
Barely.
Yeah.
That, I don't even know what they'd weigh.
39. That's a ruler.
That's as long as my forearm.
Man, imagine sucking down that thing.
He's a bit that.
Imagine sucking down.
It was, that's a meal.
Some people don't.
I'll just grab the oyster, thanks. I'll just grab Ray.
Could you swallow it in one hit?
It's,
surely
it's
not.
It's the seafood equivalent of the raviolo.
It sure is the seafood.
39 centimetres. That is a big, big oyster.
That's a big boy.
So broken-hearted Jill must have just been like, you know, coming in at a pathetic 34 or something.
So it's just going to keep growing for next year and they're going to come back bigger and better?
Well, according to Kirk, he's bloody growing and then he has all these little tricks to get competition ready. You know, like when bodybuilders, they'll start, you know,
they fake tan,
they stop drinking water so the muscles are more, you know, defined or whatever. They bring Uncle Ray up to the sun at low tide. This sunlight hardens the shell, adding a bit of weight. So, I mean, even the shell is considered, obviously, it's not just that goo bit you eat.
Yeah.
It's the whole big boy. Uncle Ray as a whole is judged and has come out on top. So, good on Kirk and his pet Uncle Ray.
Well done.
Pet oyster. Doubt.
Should I play the oyster song to play
Please
us?
Do.
I think you should.
There's nothing oyster than an oyster from the shell. When your hunger he dispels, or a malady he quells. In low and high and shifting tide, the oyster is our friend until he meets his culinary end.
Okay. Trending right now at hits.com.au.
What's trending this morning is a little bit controversial. It comes out of hair salons and the rise in interest for no-talk hair appointments. Some salons around the state, even around the country, in fact, are now providing pre-appointment questionnaires either online or via text message. And there's a little field in there that says, what level of chit-chat would you prefer? And silent is one of the options.
Wow.
The Guardian interviewed a few salon owners down in Sydney and they were like, look, to be honest, it came out of the pandemic. Obviously, hairdressing was a huge industry and beauty in general, huge industry impacted. But once they opened again, the constant talk of the pandemic really had such a negative effect on salon ambience, and the lack of positivity was really draining for both clients and staff. So this one owner is saying, so a lot of people we're finding don't want chat. They want to relax. They want to have their hour or so of just calm, you know, a bit of pampering, and they don't want any, you know, mundane chit-chat because it more often than not turns to the grim state of the world.
Oh, right.
So this is a rising thing in popularity.
You would have to weigh up your hatred of questionnaires versus your hatred of chit-chat because you have to do the questionnaire to get no chat. Look, if you select this, then, you know, I reckon the hairdresser a lot of the time would probably be like, that's nice. I've got to think of stuff to talk about all day. I wouldn't mind the odd appointment here and there where I don't have to talk.
I was going to say, though, I don't think there's better chit-chatters, small talkers, than hairdressers.
Yes, nah, they're great.
I've never been in one, and I do have, you know, a wonderful salon that looks after me, but in the odd occasion I can't get in, I have to go somewhere else random. I don't know the person.
Yeah.
Still, the chat is at a premium.
It's part of their job description, I think, as a hairdresser. Mm-hmm. You need to have good small talk and people skills.
They're part therapists, aren't they? I know there's a lot of stories around about how the hairdresser comes forward a lot of the time.
Oh, they know everything.
You know, exactly. Because they've got extra juicy details.
Yeah, yeah. Hear about Judy and what's happening with her and her hubby?
Exactly. We did put a poll up for the Hit family. And on 131060, we'd love to take your temperature on this one. Do you rate it or hate it, the idea of these silent hair appointments? 75% of the Hit family said they rate it.
Really?
Really?
75% and 25% said they hate it.
Surely not.
I hate this because my hairdresser, I think she's great. I've said a number of times on air that I want to be friends with her. I think her chat's that good. And even I find because there's two seats and two hairdressers, quite often if the other person isn't chatting, the other hairdresser, he starts chiming in and wants to get in on our chat.
On your conversation.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I think the chat is wonderful. So hate it from me.
Okay. Yeah. You want to keep chatting?
I do. I go to Benson Barbaco and I go see Lily. Mm-hmm. And I love catching up and chatting with Lily. And she's always a good chat and a good time. But it does wig me out when the other barbers chime in from across the room.
Because you think you're in your own bubble.
Yeah.
You're clearly in a public space. But you think you're in your own bubble. Yeah.
Yeah. But it'd feel rude and weird just sitting there in silence, not saying anything.
Yeah. I've become really good mates with my hairdresser. hairdresser also. And my only thing is I want it no chat when the hair dryer's on. Not sure if you boys have this problem,
no,
but a blow dry takes a little bit of time on length of like hair of my length. Yeah. I can't hear you, babe.
Yeah, it's
and
like a nightclub.
I just don't know how to go, I can't hear you. Can we just
stop? Stop.
Exactly.
But it's different. Like,
right.
You want silent Ubers sometimes. I get that. That's totally fair and normal.
Yep.
I'm all for that. But silent hairdressers, I feel like you're taking away part of their job.
And there's an element of intimacy with it. Like, they're touching your scalp. They're washing your hair. It's a very intimate act. To you to go, don't talk to me, feels kind of wrong, doesn't it? But at the end of the day, you are paying for a service.
Well, Stephanie online has said, I'm all for being polite, but I find small talk super uncomfortable. I'd rather just sit in peaceful silence.
There you go, Steph. So 131060, your family, rate it or hate it, this idea of silent hair appointments, a growing trend in New South Wales.
Yeah, give us a call, 131060. I mean, we still have a family pass to the Lake Mac Food and Wine Festival available. 131060, we'll do it.
Jennifer's in Metford. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning.
Rate it or hate it, this idea of silent hairdressing appointments.
I rate it. I'm so socially awkward. It's not funny.
Okay. So do you have a regular hairdresser, and even with sort of a friendly person, you're like, nah, I just don't want to sit there talking to you?
I do. I've been to the same hairdresser ever since I was a baby.
Ever since you were a baby. Wow, that's loyalty.
So you feel like they should, it's very loyal. You feel like they should know you very well. You're so comfy with them, right?
Yeah. But she knows when to be quiet because knows when I'm awkward. Yeah.
Oh, see, that's the other thing. Another salon owner has said, look, hairdressers are very good at reading people's vibes. We shouldn't have to have this pre-treatment questionnaire. It should be a matter of, they're clearly not up for a chat.
Yeah, that's
true. And then you scale back that way.
Yes.
Mm. I also love how Jennifer has been going to the same person chatting to them since she was a baby and doesn't want to chat to them because she's a bit socially awkward, but is happy to call up and tell 150,000 people
that she's socially awkward.
She's so careful. Jen thought she was calling her best pals, Nick, Jess and Ducko.
Yeah.
That's three people.
She's going to freak out when she realises
she's in the
cone
of silence.
Yeah. Yes. We appreciate it, Jen. Good on you,
Jen. Georgia's in Belmont. Georgia, you are a hairdresser?
I am, yes.
Oh, would love to hear your opinion, Georgia. Rate it or hate it, the idea of a silent appointment.
I rate it 100%.
Oh.
So is it a drag to have to come up with conversation with every new client every day?
You know what? If you do have existing clients who come every 6 to 8 weeks, it's good for a catch-up and it's just like talking to a friend, but it's quite exhausting because I'm like, I need to get to know you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get that vibe like they don't want to talk, so it's just best if you just don't ask questions and just let them have that quiet time. And 10 out of 10, it's really good for me as well because I need that time to chill.
Okay. Yeah. All right. While I've got you, Georgia, would it be weird of me to try and become friends with my hairdresser?
No, not at all. Most of my clients are really good friends of mine.
Now, but I say, Georgia, are you catching up with them outside of the salon is the thing? Because Nick doesn't know how to ask his hairdresser out on a friend date, essentially.
How long have you been with hairdressers? It depends
6 years.
On how long you know them and how well.
6 years, he's never mustered up the courage to ask her out.
Oh, aren't you married?
As friends, Georgia, how dare you?
That's what we said, Georgia.
Guys, I need Newcastle's best mates to help me out.
Okay, here we are.
Now, Nick, I don't know if you do this. I feel like you're someone who wouldn't be like this, but I hate the phrase. You know when someone says, oh, you had a boy look to find something.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, can you go find that thing? It's like, yeah, sure. You ask a guy to do it. Oh, I couldn't find it. Oh, you had a boy look. It was there just under
from
whatever.
From the kitchen, you yell out, Morgan, where's the whisk? It's in the second drawer.
Yeah.
Please come and help me find it. It's not in the set yet. If I come there.
Yes.
And it's in the second drawer. And then it's in the second drawer. You had a boy look.
I used to sort of pride myself on that. Boy looks weren't a thing. I was like, no, I always look thoroughly. And most of the time I was right. I never did this boy look thing. But as I've gotten a bit older in the last couple of years, I've noticed I'm slipping.
So further away from being a boy, you're becoming more of a boy looker.
I guess it should be called more of a man look. Because I've noticed, I don't know if you do it, Gilly, it's happened to me a fair bit recently. Like the other day, Morgan was in the shower. She was trying to use the thing to clean the shower.
The squeegee thing.
And she's like, can you get that? It's in the laundry. She yells at me from the shower. I was like, okay. Went in there, couldn't find it. Looked under stuff. I swear I looked under stuff, couldn't find it. I was like, I don't know where it's gone. She's like, okay. Walks out of the shower after it, finds it in 2 seconds.
So she believed you initially because you have been truthful about, I didn't have a boy look, I had a proper look,
yep.
But this time Oh, no. It was right there, Ducko.
It was right there.
Oh. Yeah.
At the play the other weekend, the person who runs the side of stage was like, yeah, you can get a cape. It's right out there in front of my desk. I walk out. I look around, and it's like it disappears.
Yeah.
And I come back in. I go, it's not there. And she goes,
is
oh, okay.
Is it a magic cape?
She comes back out, and she goes, oh, there it is, right where she said it was. And I was like, that box wasn't there 30 seconds ago. I feel like boy looks become a thing as you get older. Something's happening.
Is it an eyesight thing, Gilly?
I don't think it's an eyesight thing. I don't know what it is. I've been accused of having boy looks before.
Yeah.
And so it's at the point now where if I ask for help, I've made sure that I've turned not only the area that I was looking, but the house upside down.
But you still
won't
find it.
So I can be so certain, because then I can have the smugness of, oh, you just had a boy look, and then they can't find it. And I'm just like, did I now? You can't find it either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then occasionally it'll be like, I can't find the source. It just doesn't exist. And then she'll... Georgia will walk in and it'll be like front and center in the fridge.
It's always in the most obvious place. And it's happened to me more and more now. And even Morgan brought it up the other day. She's like, you're getting really bad at looking. And I don't know what's going on in my brain as I'm getting older, but things, you know, I'm losing
them. You've
got
so much on your mind. Now that you're old and mature and, you know, wheeling and dealing, the ability to hunt has just left you.
Oh, my hunt and gather instinct is gone.
That's right. You're
which
gone.
Which I was so good at. You know,
now
I always
you're
go
an
out
elder.
And get dinner.
Now you're just telling stories by the campfire. No more hunting and gathering for you.
The kids are around like, oh, listen to him have another go at it. Back in my day.
Back in my day. I could find the ketchup, but can now. Now it eludes, me.
Woolworths moved it to aisle 3 and it threw me.
Can I turn your negative into a positive?
Okay.
You like acting.
Yeah.
Years ago, I wrote a sketch called Male Pattern Blindness.
Ah.
I reckon I've got just the role for you.
Okay.
Boyfriend. Do you want to take the part?
I would like to take the part of the boyfriend.
Can you be girlfriend, Jess?
I could be girlfriend, yeah.
I'm going to be the doctor.
Does the doctor lose stuff too? Like, can't find things?
The doctor's a genius.
Trending right now at hits.com.au. Massive, massive, massive news in the rugby union world. Team, it was announced yesterday. Michael Hooper, the Wallabies captain, of course, and Sharon Perry, the Wallaroos captain, were outside the Harbour Bridge as it glowed green and gold. Rugby World Cup is coming to Australia 2027 for the men's tournament and the women's tournament. The first time we've ever hosted that, 2029. We're getting both of them.
This is awesome. Next week, we're going to catch up with local Wallaroo Lane Morgan.
Yep.
I'm sure she's going to be very pumped.
It's awesome.
It's going to come down under.
We had the 03, had the Men's World Cup. It was an awesome time. I remember the World Cup when I was here in 03, and they shared all around the country.
Yeah.
Sydney and Melbourne both hoping to get the final. Not announced where that will be yet.
Okay.
But it's very, very exciting. It creates lots of jobs. Good for the game. It's good getting lots of people come here. It's electric when the Rugby World Cup's on.
I know it's very early days. Are they going to build any new stadiums or anything?
Some places might. I don't know. Potentially.
Mm. Mm.
Wouldn't the one in Sydney be done by then, surely?
The new stadium in Sydney?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought they pulled the pin on progressing that at the moment.
Oh, I think
but now that
going.
They've announced this, maybe we've reignited the fire.
I think that's still going because everyone wants it as their home stadium in the NRL.
I've never been to a grand final or anything like that.
Oh, man,
so
I'd love
to
hear the
Rugby
World Cup
final. Maybe this would be, Angus is a huge rugby union guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So me and him should go to the final.
No, I want to come.
No, you won't know what's going on. You're like, what are they doing in there? This isn't rugby league. Like, oh, God.
I won't be that person who asks questions. I promise. Many questions.
So hopefully the final comes to Sydney, doesn't go to Melbourne, but we'll see.
Yes.
It's coming. Mm. Trending right
now. One of the wildest ads I've ever seen in a political campaign has been released by the Liberal Party. So May 21st is the election. Obviously, a lot of people doing pre-voting at the moment. But I just want to paint the picture for you. You haven't seen this. They've released an ad with Anthony Albanese, an animated version of him, as Gollum from Lord of the Rings. He's shirtless. He's sitting on his own desk with his name tag on there.
For anyone who doesn't know Gollum, how would you describe Gollum?
Lord of the Rings. Little creature.
He kind of looks like Dobby from Harry Potter, if you've seen that. It's a small...
Uglier.
Small, ugly, almost hairless...
Bald.
Kind of hunched over creature
from
the deep.
Yeah.
You know, like a cave dweller.
Picture like a small hairless monkey.
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of what he looks like. He's got a very distinctive voice. Anyway, they've done a very good impression of it. This is supposed to be Anthony Albanese as Gollum flip-flopping on Labor's policies.
Taxes, yes. Coal is so good. Coal gets us precious in the Queen's lamp. Yes, JobKeeper, we changed so many times. Flip. Flop.
This ad goes for 2 minutes.
It's all like that.
All like that.
You know what? 10 points for creativity, because Gollum has split personalities. And the thing about Gollum is he's sort of always against himself. There's a good and a bad side. They're saying Albo can never decide, and he flips. Like, I understand where they're going with it.
It is. You're absolutely right. It is very creative. I can't comprehend how smear campaigns are even allowed in elections.
Yeah.
Like, how about you focus on your own crap?
Yeah.
Don't be making, like, how much time, money, energy, and your team's, you know, creativity went towards this as opposed to, like, working on ScoMo's image or whatever, getting his policies out there.
Can you imagine if it worked?
That is so wow.
I know. Can you imagine if it worked in any other area of advertising?
I know.
Just like Macca's whole campaign.
Yeah.
Their whole campaign is just like, hey, how much does Hungry Jack suck?
Yeah. Hungry Jack's is
here's a list of the ways that they suck.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, you never see any other brand do that except when it comes to election.
It's the married at first sight theory. People just want to watch, you know, car crash television. This is my favorite part of the election. When the gloves come off, Liberals like, okay, Labor's winning. Let's get dirty.
Let's turn him into Gollum. A plasticine, looks like Wallace and Gromit-esque cartooning.
Yeah.
Bloody Gollum-style character flip-flopping on a desk.
They're in the ScoMo meeting, and like ScoMo, like, so we're going to show you this new ad we've got, this brand new ad. And he watches it. He's like, I love it. Put it out today. That's great.
Yeah, does he tick off on that sort of
He'd
stuff?
He'd have to, right? Who knows?
Who knows? Says at the end, authorised by someone or other from
true.
Yeah. There you go. We're getting to the pointy end of the election, guys.
Oh, jeez. Can't wait to see Albo's response.
It's Run DMC now, R&B Fridays.
These are some situations where we need to ask, don't ya? Or do ya?
You won't be asked a simpler question, do you or don't you? We do it each week. You get to be the jury, 13-10-60. But rules of engagement, whatever happens at the end of this decider, you must go forth and do.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And Nick Gill is called to the witness stand.
Yeah. Testify.
Because you are charged, sir, with a crime against language.
Language.
Which is just really bad. It's an own goal from you. Oh, I can't comprehend.
That's the worst victim I can think of.
Crimes against, I'm going to say, Australian culture.
Yep.
And I'm going to say the nation of Italy also.
Oh, geez. You're attacking. And you know what? I'll add in small businesses.
You must add in small businesses. Because everyone's mum's signature dish, spaghetti bolognese.
Yeah.
It came up in conversation on the podcast of this very show. Make sure you're always listening. LASTNR, it's where our podcasts live. Yeah. It's the listener app. We're talking about something else, but Gilly, from the depths of his soul, needed to bring up spaghetti bolognese. But this is what he called it.
When we serve up spaghetti bog, you know, put a little seating chart up. Before. Now they can't read, but you know, I'll point out where they're seated.
Yes.
Are we going to spaghetti bog?
Yeah, I'd love to drill down bog. On that also.
Bog doesn't sound.
Do you don't
spag bowl.
It's bag bowl.
It's not spaghetti bog.
Yeah, and as you heard in there, this was a few days ago and we thought, well no, we must revisit this on Friday.
Yes.
Get the hit family, i.e. our jury. Spag bog. Do you don't you call it spag bog.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
It's spaghetti bolognese.
Yeah.
It's spag bowl. Like,
spag bowl.
Like, where's the G?
What, and the bog sounds like you're eating poo. Like,
Australian slang bog is you do a bog.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Nah, come on. Like, it's a big do you from me, obviously. Now, I grew up questioning this just a little bit because I thought it should be spag bowl too.
Mm. Yeah.
But, you know, when you contract a word, it's not always just the first three letters or whatever. It's the B and the O from the start and it's the bog from the roll on the N. Okay, spag bog. And I thought it was weird growing up, but everyone around me, spag bog.
Think about what you're eating, though. Spag bog.
It is one of the most delicious things on earth. You love spaghetti bolognese. How can you call it spag bog? It's such an awful thing to call what you're about to put in your mouth, let alone something you actually like.
Yeah, who cares? There's lots of weird words and things.
Oh, Nick Gill.
No, Kai has said on Nick Jess Ducko, how can you say bog when bowl is literally the start to the proper term? It is spag bowl, sir.
Spag bowl,
Keatsy has said, my mum says sket bog. Shudders.
Okay. Oh, Bog. Skeddy Bog. That's a good one.
There's been a few votes for Skeddy Bog. What the hell is Skeddy Bog?
My mate's got this relatively new girlfriend. She's French, very French. Mm-hmm. And we went away to the Hunter Valley with them some weeks ago. And Morgan was going to cook dinner for everyone that night. And she's like texting around, what do you guys want? Do you want like a chicken curry or do you want some spag bol? And he times in, yeah, spag bol. I was like, spag bol in a group. Mm-hmm. She replied maybe an hour later being like, I'm so sorry. I just had to Google what spag bol was.
Really?
She had no idea what the term meant.
Mate, wow. Lucky she didn't Google spag bol. Because who knows what would have come up.
Just Gilly's family.
All right, what's won't short for?
Will not.
Exactly.
Listen, I'm charging you with crimes against language. Don't you now start throwing back. You're the witness. You're not no lawyer, all right?
Yeah. Shame on you and your family.
Shame on you.
Yeah.
Look, this is who you're in the company with. Morris calls it spag bogger. I mean, no.
You and Morris.
You and Morris.
Officially distance myself from Morris.
You and Morris. 131060, give us a call. Do you call it spag bog?
Bog, B-O-G.
And come in,
it's awful.
It is universal. Yeah. You guys are the weirdos.
You can't. I mean, and don't just call in and defend him as well. Call in if you want to get on him.
Yeah.
Be passionate.
We need the spag bowls to unite.
Yes. We'll do it next. Samantha's in Cameron Park. Samantha, do you don't you call it spag bog?
Do ya?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Sam, do you not think it sounds gross?
I thought it was normal till now, you guys.
It is normal, Samantha, and you go on with your life realizing that it's normal.
You eat your bog in silence.
I can't imagine announcing to my family bog for dinner. Like, I just...
Yeah, bog for dinner tonight, Mum. Yeah. Evie's in Raymond Terrace. Evie, don't you call it spag bog?
Morning, guys. I'm a docha. I'm with Jess here. It needs to be called spag bol, not spag bog, Vic.
Mm. Yeah, Nick.
Yeah, Nick.
Okay, I like your passion, but you're wrong.
It is all about the passion because, yes, as I said, it's a fave among so many people. Bowl you're ruining it.
Bowl's such a dumb word.
I do have an issue with people who call it bowl. Well, they write B-O-W-L. No, it's not spag bowl. It's not a bowl of spaghetti.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I write.
Oh.
Oh, come on.
Separate issue. We're on side here. It's back. Anyway, Megan's in Fletcher. Hi, Megan.
Hi.
Do you, don't you call it spag bog?
I do. I've done it all my life. Yes. And even when I met my husband, he's always called it spag bog. So my kids, naturally, what do you want for dinner? Spag bog.
Oh. Yes, Megan.
That's a bog family.
That's a bog family.
You got a full bog family,
the
Megan.
The bog family from Fletcher.
Is that four votes?
Yeah.
No.
No,
you cheeky man.
We're pretty split. Chelsea's in Bonnells Bay on 131060. Chelsea, do you, don't you call it spag bog?
You don't.
Yeah, you don't. Thank you.
I'm sorry, but I thought you came out of the womb knowing it was spag bol.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, some of us, Chelsea, did not.
No.
Yeah.
Well, you questioned it as a youngster, you were saying, but Bernie, nah, spag bog, your mum.
Spag bog, yep.
Nah, you can't associate it with spaghetti poo.
Yeah.
You can't.
You know what I always think of? I think of Bruce Bogtrotter from Matilda.
From Matilda. Bruce.
Yes, or bog roll. Like bog roll.
Yeah, you can't. Okay, we're split.
This is actually terrible. Hunter in Cessnock, do you, don't you call it spag bog?
I don't ya. That's very weird.
Yes!
You're the weirdo, mate.
Woo!
Suck it, Gil.
Thank you, Hunter. Is this the first time you've heard spag bog, or is this something you've always just, you know, rolled your eyes at?
I've never actually heard spag bog myself.
Yeah.
Yes, because it's weird
it's
and
disgusting
gross.
And sickening.
Well, now we've shared the love and everybody knows, but... I shall have to go forth because that's the rules.
Yes,
call it spag bol from now on.
It does feel like we've galvanised a few boggers, though, out there. They're like, no, I'm standing firm in my bog.
Yeah.
But you know the rule, Gilly. So Hunter has made that choice
no
for you.
No standing firm in your bog anymore, Gilly. You're out of it. I want to talk about something wholesome I found about turtles, specifically sea turtles.
You so totally rock, Squirt. So give me some fin. Noggin.
Dude.
Oh, so cute. So as it turns out, you know how sea turtles always migrate?
Mm-hmm.
And they always go, obviously, if Finding Nemo and Finding Dory is anything to go by, they're rolling together and they're all chillers, man.
That's right. Just jump on the old EAC, the current, and just cruise along.
Well, research has been done. I don't know why this is so new research, but Professor Graham Hayes, the chair in marine science at some university, has come out and says sea turtles actually don't know where they're going majority of the time. When they're migrating,
just getting pushed around by the ocean.
When they're migrating, they still don't know where they're going, and apparently they typically travel twice the required distance to get to their target locations. Like sometimes even they're just swimming in massive circles, following each other, and they don't even know. Like if there's someone that's 176 k's away that they've got to get to, yeah, they'll actually travel up to 1500 kilometers in the wrong direction.
Yay, I'm sorry, how's Graham going? Oh, they don't know where they're going. How do you know they're not just taking the scenic route?
So true.
You know, it's about the journey for the turt. It's not about the destination.
I'd love to see the Mariana Trench.
Thank you. These guys just putting turtles in a box. I'm a bloody turtle. If I want to get there on Friday instead of Thursday, I'll take the long way round.
Sit back and smell the roses.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Or is the dad turtle not asking for directions?
So true.
Who's leading us? Fine, Betty. Yeah. It's fine. I know where I'm going.
I'm going in the right direction. I swear I've seen that rock before. Apparently, they use the Earth magnetic field to get through, to get around. It's a process called geomagnetic printing. Now, the thing about that is, in a very big stretch of water, like, say, the Indian Ocean, the Earth's magnetic field is so big, you can get there, but it does leave a lot of room for error.
Okay, a little bit of room for interpretation.
So it's not pinpoint. It's like, oh, it's somewhere in that direction. The compass is a little bit off, but we'll go.
Also, what's the last word in that term that you just used?
Geomagnetic printing.
I can't think of a less precise or reliable thing in life than printing.
Ah, that's it. They're trying to use
the
printer.
We're out of science!
Oh, we got no ink in the printing!
Why do I need cyan? Hit 106.9's
10K Alpha Bucks. Alpha Bucks. Yes, how good this be for a wet Friday? 30 seconds to answer 10 questions, all starting with the same letter. Have to take your first answer. You can't use the same one twice. If you're unsure of that question, just say pass. We come back if there's time. Today from Mannering Park, we've got another Jess on the show. Hello, Jess.
Hi.
Oh, Jess, you've told producer Snooze that you want to spend the 10 grand on something very interesting.
Yeah, we're going to Alaska next year for my mother-in-law's 60th.
Stop.
So it'll definitely go towards that.
What's the connection to Alaska, Jess?
My father-in-law's got some family over there, so his cousins and a few relatives, so
snow dogs.
Snow dogs.
That's so fun. We just feel like everyone who's called to play Alpha Bucks wants to do a home reno, which is in everyone's prerogative.
Yep.
So an Alaska trip, it's a bit different. Yeah. Jess, good omen for you today, girlfriend. The letter is M. M for Mannering Park.
All right.
You like that?
Yep.
All right.
Come on, here we go. Relax out, Jess.
For a Friday.
Yep.
For a spooky Friday, the 13th. Mm. Jess, starting with the letter M. We need you to name a biscuit.
Pass.
An Australian celebrity.
Oh my God. Mark Dilpuzer.
A capital city.
Melbourne.
A Disney movie.
Moana.
A rapper.
Pass.
An alcoholic drink.
Oh my God. Pass.
A five-letter word.
Mouth.
A TV host.
Out of time. A lot of passes, but you did pass in a sense. You got five. You've also got a double pass to Lawn Liaison. Book now for the most social Sunday session in Newcastle at Bar Beach Bolo. Let's take you through the passes. A biscuit, the Monte Carlo, the mint slice. Milk, macaron. The milk arrowroot, sorry. What else have we got? A rapper, Macklemore, Mac Miller, and a TV host, Michelle Bridges, Magda Szubanski, et cetera, et cetera.
Tough, Jess, unlucky.
It's so much harder.
It is.
When you hear our voices and that clock ticking away at you, the pressure is on.
Definitely.
Have fun in Alaska.
Yes, enjoy Alaska.
Thank you. We will. Thank you so much. 3, 2, 1.
Okay. Trending right now at hits.com.au. Barbie might be 63 years old, but don't you dare put her in a box. Fun fact, you know Aqua's song Barbie Girl was voted the worst song of the 90s by Rolling Stone magazine.
Oh, really? that fits.
The movie Barbie, which is coming out with Margot Robbie in it, said will not feature that song. So
yes.
popular at not being popular.
Yes. And then there was a lawsuit. Didn't Mattel, the makers of Barbie, sue Aqua? And it was a whole thing. But anyway, we've seen, obviously, there's been commentary around Barbie for literally decades. You know, the perfect blonde, you know, this stereotypical aesthetic. So there's been a lot of commentary around Barbie. But in recent years, Mattel have definitely tried to, I guess, take a leaf out of the Quokka's book and work towards a bit more inclusivity and range and diversity.
Love to hear it.
And their new set of Barbies have included hearing aids on some of their female dolls and even a Ken doll with vitiligo. Am I saying that correctly, Gilly? The condition where the skin loses pigment cells.
Oh, yeah.
Some other dolls being launched are obviously a variety of skin tones, eye colours, hair colours, body types, disabilities and fashions to inspire and represent, you know, more of the global population. Last year, there was a Barbie in a wheelchair. There were male dolls that were thinner and less muscular than the stereotypical Ken doll. You know, the Queen got a Barbie recently. So even, you know, a bit of an older Barbie, obviously, to represent Queen Liz.
Oh, there you go.
So very cool as part of this inclusivity push from Mattel and Barbie.
Yeah, this is wonderful because if you can't be it, you can't see it. So to have that inclusivity from a very young age, excellent.
Mm-hmm. Does the Queen need a Barbie, though?
Yeah, no, not necessarily. She's got enough. Trending
right now. Guys, it's finally happened.
Mm.
It could be, well, it could be happening, sorry.
Okay.
High School Musical 4. Didn't know there was a 2 or 3.
I didn't know there was a 3. I knew there was a 2.
But Zac Efron.
Jess, what do you stand on knowing your numbers in High School Musical?
I'm annoyed you played the Wildcats' Little Bitsy and not Sharpay's song. Tisdale's Little Bit, which is in the system should you want to
What's it called?
Just type in Sharpay. She'll be there.
How do you spell that?
Sharpay. There she is. Sharpay Evans.
There we go. I want fabulous. Right. I've only ever seen the first one, you see. Is this from the first one?
I'm pretty sure.
No, man, I can't remember.
No, this is second.
It's second. With their twin brother in the pool.
So anyway, the reason I bring this up is because Zac Efron, the Fron, he's come out, done an interview with E! They've asked, would you do a High School Musical 4? Now, we know he dated
Vanessa Hudgens,
who was the lead actress in it. And this is what he had to say.
Of course. Of course. Having the opportunity to, in any form, go back and work with that team would be so amazing. That would be incredible. I hope it happens.
What is it now? Midlife Crisis Musical.
What would it be? Yeah, because he's in his 30s.
No, it's mature age student musical.
And they're just asking questions.
Hey, the COVID, it's wiped out traditional jobs. They've gone back to school.
Yeah.
But now they're the old fogies in the back that are keeping everyone. Well, they're in the front row,
I should say. Would it be a reunion? Surely.
Could be.
Oh, yeah. And they all have to lie about how good their jobs and lives are.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. And how they never actually made it. You know what I mean?
And all the guys are spraying their, you know, bald spots with that spray on hair
stuff. Yeah, hair in a can.
Not that Zac Efron has any problem with thinning hair. But
all the others might.
Yes.
So, I mean, look, keep your eyes peeled. High School Musical 4 could be happening, but it also screams to me that Zac got asked that question on the spot and he's like, oh, I'd hate to work with my ex. Of course. I hope it happens.
I know. I was going to say, I don't remember them ending, you know, super bad, but I don't think they're like mates anymore.
You can't be mates with an ex. We know that.
No, not in Hollywood.
No.
What's Vanessa Hudgens doing these days?
Don't know.
She was in Andrew Garfield, the one about Tick Tick Boom.
Oh, yes.
She was in that.
Yeah.
She was one of the hosts of the Met Gala.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. There you go, Gilly, you idiot.
Yep.
Why would you even ask?
I watched every second of that, of course.
The host of the Met Gala, duh.
She's done a couple of Netflix movies about her meeting a prince. She's a baker. They're not good.
Welcome to Nick, Jess and Ducko's Bottom Three, celebrating the low points of the week on the show.
Yes, I get to do another load of washing.
Three.
Ducko can never unthink the things Jess made him think when the guys were talking about which movie sequels were better than the originals.
My dad put a vote in for Aliens 2. He's a big Aliens guy.
Oh, my dad loved Aliens 2.
Sigourney Weaver was all the rage.
Yeah, when the first advert, but that's in the first one.
I think Dad's just voting for Sigourney, really.
Ah, okay.
Had a thing for Sigourney.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
For a long time.
A bit of role play. Your mum dressed up as Sigourney on that thing.
I don't want to think about my mum and dad doing alien role play, you sicko.
I don't want to think about it.
Number two. there's a thing in radio called a hook, where the hosts tell you something that's coming up on the show in a bid to get you excited about listening to it in the future. Nick, sometimes, should have a little ponder about the sorts of things he thinks people will get excited about.
Inside 10 minutes, we're asking you what's the tiniest thing you got excited about after there's been a change in the paper towel world. Sounds like we might can that.
Nick was riding high last week when Hit family member Megan said something that had not crossed his or anyone's ears in his lifetime.
Well, I know some people don't like the cuff jeans look, Megan, but normal store-bought pants don't normally reach my ankles. When that became a fashion thing, I was like, great.
You're pretty tall, Nick.
Do I get a hall pass on that one?
I would give you a hall pass just because you're cool.
I mean those are words that have never been spoken, Megan.
Hang on.
Give him a call of fame now.
You did not just call Nick Gill cool.
Oh, well, as that, he's flipped his cap backwards.
Oh, my God, Megan, what have you done? Just way too
cool. Nick was starting to get a pretty big head after that, so it was lucky the very next caller restored the balance of the universe.
Talia's in Rutherford. Hi, Talia.
Hey, how are you?
Excellent. Would you like to compliment Nick Gill before we push on?
Yeah.
No, I've got no compliments, mate.
Back to normal programming.
And that's it for Nick, Jess and Ducko's bottom three. Nick, Jess and Ducko.